that's the Who. I know it's the Who.
Yeah.
I'm a Who fanatic.
Aren't they going on a tour? They said their ninth farewell tour.
Are they?
I believe so.
Well, he can't hear anyway, right?
Was
Pete Townsend's like, we sound great.
I know.
We've never sounded better. What?
Roger, you're in such fine form.
We're the boys.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Remember that? He's just doing research because he was also molested.
Well, that makes sense because he is a writer. He wrote a lot of songs.
Yeah, about the NAMBLA Who acoustic album, very popular in a certain part of the city. I wonder if the NAMBLA office is still around. I'm not really going to worry too hard about it, but...
For real, they had a NAMBLA office?
Yeah, it was, I think, on Howard, like, 30 years ago. You could call the recording, and the recording would be like, if you're a boy, don't be afraid, and if you're a man who loves boys, be true. And it was like a recording you could do, and they'd show up at, like, the gay pride march, and all the gay guys would be like, by the way, Keith, I'm saying gay. All the gay guys would go, they'd be like, get out of here! Stop it! You know, you're not part of us.
They made them look bad?
It's very hard to be on the side of pedophiles. Like, they don't make it easy. They're like, and their members
hard,
only...
Pun intended?
Yeah, and their members only...
But for real, so what is NAMBLA?
Like, North American
Man. I know what it stands for, but like, how old are the boys supposed to be?
Well, in my opinion, boys start to turn sour, as we say in the business, at around 14. When they started getting, you know, hair... That's probably for those guys.
Have opinions.
Yeah, exactly.
Start getting into girls.
Ugh, gross. Exactly. When they stop playing with stuffed animals, they're probably guys like, you've changed, Tommy. You used to be cool.
They probably start to smell different too, right? Because they're hormones.
Yeah, pheromones and hormones. And,
yeah.
All right, can I tell you about my Saturday night just really quickly?
Yeah.
So Saturday night, I hosted that roast in Queens.
Oh, yeah.
For Brian, which is a lot of fun. That the Korean, can we say Oriental Keith too? Or we need like a list of things we can't say.
We're free today, so that's why they played I'm Free.
Right.
By the Who. Uh-huh. That's from Tommy, right? I'm Free.
Isn't everything from Tommy?
No. I think that's from Tommy.
I think so.
It's free today.
Every Monday moving forward, I think.
So we can't say certain words.
We don't use those words anyway necessarily.
I do.
Yeah, but at home, when you're talking to your kids.
I'm fucking my wife. Can I say wife?
Yeah.
Can I say fucking?
Yeah. There's a short list. I think there's probably five words that we're encouraged to not use, which I think I'm fine with. I don't need to.
Let's go over them.
Yeah, right now. Can we spell them phonetically? So
one's the N word.
Okay, yeah.
One's the F word.
Right.
My son the other day goes, Dad, can Jesus be a bag of chips? I go, yep. Then he goes, can Jesus be a girl? He has a bag of chips.
Why
would he? He's thinking of all these things. Can Jesus be like whatever he wants?
Turn himself into?
Yeah, like is Jesus like a ghost that he can just be? I just thought he's funny. He put bag of chips before a woman, before a girl.
Well, he has long hair. You could shave that
bag
beard
of chips.
Off.
And he's like, can he be? He's looking around. What can he be that? And finally, I just was like, no, I don't think he can be a sofa.
No.
I was getting tired of answering the question.
Right.
It's just funny. It's like, can he be a bag of chips?
Right.
How about a lady?
A lady. It'd be funny. Jesus goes to God.
It's more far-fetched him to be a lady than a bag of chips.
Can he be a bag of Lays? How about a cunt?
How about a Utz?
Yeah, Utz. Jesus goes to God, and he's like, look, I don't want to be Jesus anymore. I'm transitioning.
I want to be a bag of chips.
I want to be a bag of chips. God's like, oh, my God, this fucking kid's killing me. Oh, God.
So how the Jews are with their kids.
Yeah, very.
They're very angst about it. Because they only have two. The Irish are like, we got 10. We'll be fine.
One of my friends growing up, the only Jewish kid I knew, we were good friends. And his parents were like old, and he was an only child.
Oh, God.
In their living room, there was like a 5-foot by 7-foot picture of him from his bar mitzvah.
Oh, my God.
And he was like with the Torah and everything, that scarf thing over his neck.
Too much pressure.
Yeah. And we used to smoke weed when we were like 15. And he was Friday night, he would observe the Shabbos because they were Orthodox. So yeah. I'd have to like light the bong for him. So then one night we were.
For real?
Yeah. So one night we were staying over, and we just went down to the
kitchen. Over where? His house?
Yeah. His parents were in Boca Raton or something. So we went down to the kitchen. We turned on every single appliance in the kitchen at like 4 a.m. And he runs in and goes, turn it off. I said, accept Jesus, and I'll turn it off. He goes, I can't touch this stuff. I said, that's it. You're Lord and Savior. I got the dishwasher going.
I just saw some like homeless woman sitting outside Macy's on 34th Street.
Right.
She's just sitting there. She's probably, I couldn't even, but anyway, there's two black women around her screaming about her that Jesus can save her. And she's looking at him like, huh?
Right.
Like, I couldn't even, I had to keep moving, but it was just getting like, she was just like, can I just be homeless?
Right. What am I doing to you?
Yeah, can I just be homeless? Can I just have a dollar?
Right.
Like, stop barking about Jesus and just give me some money or some soup.
I'm amazed on the train when people give money to homeless people. I'm always like, what are you doing? You're just kind of giving them money for bullshit. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but what are you supposed to do? Not give them money?
Yeah, not give them money. Yes.
And then what does that do?
I always pull the stick out. I'll pop out my blind guy stick, and I'll go, sounds like you're having a bad day. I'll look like really blind, like away from him. I try to I try to shame the fucking homeless guy. It's like, so anyway, Saturday night, go to Queens, do the thing. That guy, Brian Kim, showed up.
Yeah.
And like, nice guy, and he was like, he was funny.
Good guy.
He was funny enough. He was, you know, like he's not. He told us at the show that he didn't really like roasting, so I wasn't expecting, you know.
Didn't he do the roast battle? Louis J. Gomez's roast battle.
But he told us he didn't like it. I thought.
Why? Because it's too mean.
Something like that. Yeah, he thinks he's too nice to like actually roast somebody. So, but he's funny. But he literally did, and I'm not exaggerating, 45 seconds. He like came all the way up to Queens, did like four jokes, and just ran out of there, which was fine.
And he left.
He left. Yeah.
So where?
I don't know. Probably some sort of Korean place. Hang him upside down. Where do we stack our Koreans these days? I don't know where he went. He just left. He was with some other guy named Eric, who's a comic.
Oh, he wasn't by himself.
No. And I said,
probably going to another show.
Maybe. And I said, he did have to go to another show, but
probably going to an open mic. I thought he just came by himself and then left by himself.
No. He came to this guy, Eric. I told this guy, Eric, I was like, you know, I said, you want to do any time? I said, you can even do material. I don't care.
So who was on the show then?
It was me. Brian.
You hosted?
Yeah, I hosted, but I did like a lot of time too. I just did like crowd
like
work.
Dean Martin.
Yeah, exactly. I stood there drunk with a drink in my hand.
Did a lot of crowd work, even though you can't see.
Yeah, I could see.
Vinny Brandt does a lot of crowd work. He can't hear.
What was that?
Vinny Brandt can't hear, and he does a lot of crowd work. I'm not kidding. He'll do because he hosts his own show at his right. club. So somebody will say him. I'll go. What's that again?
So he's really, like.
He's deaf in one ear. He's okay. Always like, "What's that again?" Into my good ear. He still does pretty good, but I'm like, it's amazing.
Does he have
it's
a hearing?
Amazing. He does well at all because right. he can't hear. You got to a lot of it has to do with timing or crowd work.
You
have to say something right back to them. You
right.
can't really pause. Just have to say something back. If you confidently say something back, they'll probably laugh a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. It was anyway. So I after the show, you know, Kevin, an old showbiz legend like myself, I don't like to hang out with the crowd afterwards. I need to get out of there because it's too much adulation. For
jumped right in the car.
I took this guy
went
I knew
to Gallagher's.
Was, no, I wanted to go to Gallagher's, but
didn't we all?
I know, right? I want to have my wake there. But there's a guy I knew who lived in the Upper East Side, and he had an Uber, and he was like, "You want me to go back to the city?" I said, "Yeah, sure." So then he was with this girl, and then he had to work in the morning, and it was like midnight. And I was like, "Fuck it, I'll go to my friend's bar called." Mother's Ruin on Spring Street. He lives somewhere else, but it's, and I know the staff. I'm like, I'll just have it myself. I don't care. So I go there, it's packed. And he had asked me to invest in this bar like 5 years ago, and I should have given him money. I'm an idiot. But anyway, so I get there.
What did he want?
$100,000 would have been like 10 points.
Yeah, you should have done it.
Yeah. So I'm at the bar and I'm standing at the bar and there's this girl to my right, very attractive, girl talking to some guy and there's all these girls everywhere and these girls are, like coming up there just talking to me. I swear to God, I know it sounds like ridiculous, but like if I was single and like out there, I think I could like fucking do great. I think, I mean, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure like I would
do you have your stick?
I put it on the bar. I put on the bar.
What do they talk to you about?
They come up. This one girl comes up and she goes, "Hey, what's your name? Because there's like, people are like in a bar. They want to get laid or whatever. I had my ring on and everything. I wasn't like hiding the fact that I was married or anything. But so I'm standing at the bar and then the girl next to me, the girl to my right, starts talking to me. She's talking to some guy and then I felt badly because I thought the guy would think I was trying to pick her up. So they were with like five people. So I bought them all a round of drinks and I was like, "Hey, just you guys, I'm just hanging out." I'm like. You know, the girl's like Austrian, very pretty girl, like 32 years old or something. And she's there and we're chatting. And then all of a sudden it's like 4 a.m. And I go, "Do me a favor." I say, you know, we're talking about my eyes and all this other bullshit. And she's like grabbing my knee under the table and kind of like taking my hand and stuff. I'm like, "Holy shit." And so I give her my phone and I go, "Would you order a lift for me, please?" She orders a lift for me. And then it's a minute later, she goes, "I'll take you outside of the car." I was like, "It's probably a good idea because it's late and I can't." Everyone's looking for cars. The bar is closing. So I go out with her to the street. The lift is right there. The car's right there. There's a girl standing there and the girl's like talking to the driver. And I hear the driver say, "I'm here for Brian." And the Austrian girl says to the girl, she goes, hey, you're taking his car. Don't you see he's disabled? And the girl says something back to her, like something kind of mouthy or whatever it was. The Austrian girl fucking headbutts her. Literally, like, boom, like something out of like WrestleMania, like fucking slams her head into the bridge of this girl's nose, and the girl's like, ah, and starts yelling. And I
tell you, that's a fucking European move.
It really was.
I did it to me in my lobby. I got headbutted.
Yeah, I remember that.
In my lobby. So I think they just know that's the move from playing so much soccer growing up.
I mean, I can't, and she knew where to go in her head. Like, if I had met anybody.
No, that's what I'm saying. The guy knew exactly what to do. He even knew how to do it. He let me go. He let me, like, come into him. So my weight was going forward, and then I can't defend myself. Because, yeah. Again, it makes it easier. If I'm kind of coming at him, he falls back, and then he just drops right into my fucking head.
Yeah, she hit her right on, like,
and they
her
know where to hit bridge. It on.
She knew right where to go.
Yeah, they know where to hit you with. They know where to what part of their head to use. To,
I wouldn't
the
know
weapon.
Where to headbutt somebody.
You don't want to smash your own nose, yeah. So you guys use the top of your forehead.
She
I
went in like a rhino.
They learned it from hitting soccer, from heading soccer balls.
Yeah. So I immediately was like, "Holy shit!" I just jumped in the car, and got the fuck out of there.
I would have got so turned on. I would have started making out with that.
I started jerking off the back of the lift. I was like, "You see that?" Hey, Muhammad, you see that? Fucking hot, right?
Four stars for everybody.
Exactly.
I don't give a fuck.
Talk about a sauerkraut.
Can we say that, Keith?
Is that all right? Kraut. So, yeah. So that was my Saturday night.
Wow.
Did you watch the Super Bowl last night?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
Let's get Tom Cotter in here for the Super Bowl.
Are we doing sports talk? Oh, shit. I'll go to the bathroom.
No, he's a Patriots fan.
Oh, is he really?
I said, after the game, what's the number for? I said, what's the suicide hotline again?
Oh, I don't
and know. No one even sensed that it was like a cry for help.
Tom Cotter, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
On Facebook actually finally chimed in and goes, are you okay?
Oh, really?
Yeah, do you need any resources to.
Were they worried about you?
Yeah, I mean, I said, what's the number for the suicide hotline? I mean, isn't that something?
Are you rooting for the Chiefs? Is that what your problem was?
No, but I'm just saying, it's like, they shouldn't someone go like, are you okay? And no. Then Facebook, like a half hour later, goes, hey, man.
If you go to Siri.
Hey, man.
An hour later, you're already dead.
That's what I'm saying. So I think when people say, like, I don't think they take suicide threats too seriously.
No, if you go into Siri and you go to, because I've done it. You go to Siri, you go, hey, Siri, I want to kill myself. It'll put you right to the suicide hotline.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
another Steve Jobs miracle right there.
I know. Rest lives. Taken too soon. Now we've got a homosexual running that company. I did good there.
Yeah, and they come up with nothing since then. Isn't that funny?
Exactly.
He's like, everybody loves him, but he can't come up with dick.
Yeah.
Is Cook gay?
Tim Cook's definitely gay. He's his.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you know.
The new iPhone can also be used as knee pads.
Is that true? True.
Sorry to interrupt, but the girl Brian was flirting with on Saturday is calling in.
Oh, good.
Oh, great. Hi, Heidi.
Hello, how you are, Brian?
I'm great. So Sunday's meeting you Saturday.
That's Guten Tag. It was very exciting to do a headbutt and slap and try and steal your Uber.
Yes, that was pretty badass. I was really.
Were you attracted to Brian? Is that why you kind of like stood up for him?
Very much so. In my country, you have to defend a weak feminist man, and I'm very attracted to Brian.
I almost dropped my parasol.
I grabbed his knee, Kevin, under the table, and I could tell by his knees that he is a man that knows how to do fuck, because you could feel the bruising and the damaged cartilage on the knee.
Yep.
Hey, you weren't scared off by his blind stick or the fact that he's married?
Not at all, Wunderbar. He's very exciting, and also I know that a married man who is blind is easier to trick, because I could put my vagina on him and do sex, and I would say, I am your boyfriend, and after he would ejaculate him, I would say, I tricked you, and then I would have my right to stay in the coon tree.
That's about right.
She sounds like a nice lady.
She was feisty.
Was she curvy?
Very nice.
Are you curvy?
I would like to meet in his wife and head bootin' her and take what is mine.
Head bootin'. Yeah, it
was. Is she a sexy lady?
She was. Yeah, she was.
What's her name? What's your name?
Heidi.
Mm-hmm. My name is Heidi.
Right.
The E is silent. You could just do H-I-D-I, which is also the disease I have in my vagina.
Yeah.
You have the Heidi?
Yeah, she's wearing a dirndl, you know? Like,
and you live here? You're visiting?
I am busy, Toon, but also I would love to live in here because I have a big pint glasses that I can drink in beer and Munchenhausen out of.
Ryan has an extra bedroom in his apartment in Park Slope, so.
I'm sure his wife would take it.
Say she's a nanny or could hire us a nanny or some kind of trick or something.
We could put it like pieces of like wood and make it look like Austria.
Your wife, you could say I am there to take care of your children, and we would not tell her that your children are your testicles, and that's what we meant in Austrian humor.
It's like that Austrian movie, The Hand Untrags the Cradle.
It's your favorite movie, The Sound of Music?
I like The Sound of Music. I also be a fan of Schindler's List.
Yeah, my wife, what do you say to that? I don't know. Is that okay? I feel like we're in trouble with Keith now.
No.
I am at the gymnasium right now. I am training next, so I will be ready to head boot in Brian's Viking.
All right. Well, Heidi, I'm going to holler. I actually have her
Thank
phone
you,
number.
Thank you, Heidi.
Heidi,
she gave you her phone number?
Yeah. You call me, even though it starts with many zeros in the fun because it's European.
Yeah, and there's an umlaut over the seven, which I never really understood how to do that.
That's dirty.
Okay, good and buying.
All right, auf Wiedersehen. Mein Liebchen. There you go. I know, because
so she gave your number before?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I think Tom's married. Sometimes I think women kind of flirt with you because they know you can't do nothing. It's like they're just kind of toying with you.
It's such bullshit. I've never, you know, friends all say, oh, you wear a ring. It's like a magnet for chicks who just want to have a fling.
No, I'm saying they don't want to fuck you. They just want to fuck with you. You know what I mean?
Because
they know you're married and blah, 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 you know.
They'll let you buy them drinks and everything. But
I won't buy them drinks, but they're all like flirty after a show. They get all flirty, and then you're like, yeah, well, whatever.
You know what used to kill me was Anthony Clark. I started in Boston with Anthony Clark, who couldn't be more gay, and women would hurl themselves at him after.
Well, they didn't know he was gay, and he was like one of the original, like, you know, he's like every dude now, like kind of faggy. You know,
hey!
he's very.
Keith, that was Kevin.
He's very open
Mr.
to.
Mr. Keith.
You know what I mean? Just he's not an alpha male. You know what I mean? He was just a good time, and women didn't know. Women are dumb as fuck, right? Can we say that? I'm really daring myself. In my own head, I'm saying, say it.
What's with you and your wife?
What do you mean?
I mean, I think how's the status?
It's been weird lately. I'm not gonna lie, but this is a free show, so I probably shouldn't talk about it.
No,
she might listen.
Yep.
No, she's been weird. You know, I'm going out of town this week, so she's like. She's like, are you excited to go out of town? I go, no. I had to pretend like I wasn't.
Right. Are you going again?
Supposedly, I can't say. Supposedly.
Denver?
No. Supposedly. Supposedly, Seinfeld, when he's packing for like gigs, even his, you know.
All right.
He can hire like people to help him with his kids or whatever. Supposedly, when he's packing, it's everything he has in his to not whistle while he's packing. Because he's so. He's happy that he knowing he's leaving his wife and kids behind. Bye-bye, I'll miss you.
Miss you.
But not that much.
Yeah, he doesn't fly. He doesn't like commercial, right?
No, I'm saying, like, nobody wants to be – everybody wants to get away from their fucking kids. I mean, if we were black, we wouldn't even be living with our kids. You know what I mean?
I used to call my wife from cruise ships when I was working on cruise ships and try to explain to her how miserable my life was in February when I was in the Caribbean and she was home with our toddler.
Because you got to pretend, right?
I'm like, honey, this sucks. It's the worst.
But this gig sucks. This guy who
people
are so stupid.
This is terrible.
Exactly.
Club sandwich.
But all she wants to hear is how miserable it is.
You got to say, like, oh, my God, this is so bad. This is so bad.
Or you come home to negativity, which you come home to anyway. So
when I get busy, my wife gets, like, kind of, like, weird with me. Like, I have to, like, this weekend I'm producing this TV show, and I'm in it and everything, and it's all Saturday and Sunday. My wife started, like, who's going up with the kids on Saturday? I'm like, I didn't get out of bed for a year. Like, I don't know. Like, fucking figure it out.
Right.
That N-word, F-word.
Yeah, we're really handicapped for that.
I know. Really,
what are we going to talk about?
I didn't realize this show was broadcasting from Mother Russia.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
I know
your comedy. I've never really met you before.
Sorry you had to see that.
I know. Yeah. Sorry. I'm in therapy now.
Yeah, we're
on Stern, right? You get on Stern pretty often, right?
Yeah.
You
listen I've only done it a couple of times.
Oh, but you listen. You might have heard him on Stern because he was.
I think so. What part of town do you live in?
Stony Point, New York.
Where's Stony Point?
It's where the zip code is EIEIO with a hell out of Dodge, an hour outside.
Is it near the Tappan Zee?
Like Orange County or?
Past the Tappan Zee. We're halfway between West Point and Manhattan.
Oh, Jesus.
No way. Yeah. You're on the other side?
Yeah.
Which side of the river? The West Point side?
No. Yeah, I'm on that side. Yeah.
Wow. You like living up there?
I do.
Is it? But the winters are bad, right?
The winters are bad everywhere. I'm a Boston guy. I'm used to that. Crap,
winters are bad. That's what you're worried about. The winters are bad.
Make some chowder.
You got to make your own bread.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Those Indians are coming in from the woods.
We were in Harlem for 5 years before we moved to the burbs. So
easy.
Different. I'm just telling you.
No. Too close for comfort.
Right.
Say East Harlem.
It was East Harlem. It was Spanish Harlem.
Okay, great.
Now we're safe. Spicks.
Now we're safe.
Spick and span. Spick and span. Very clean.
Dodge that bullet, Keith.
Yeah, my wife's son, so I can say that.
Right.
Anyway, wait. So why'd you... You just kept looking? You just kept going north?
She did. I was on the road, so she did all the heavy lifting. Looking for a place, and she loved it. Schools were good. And
where'd she find it? On, like, a...
We just
recommendations.
Yeah, people said, you know, that side of the river is cheaper because the other side is Westchester and very expensive. Yeah. But Westchester
better
has
taxes.
We did have lower taxes, but then we got sued by a power plant, so now we're getting reamed.
Jesus, how can you get sued by a power plant?
We overcharged them for decades, apparently, and now they want their money back, and the court sided with them. So
you overcharged who? Westchester?
No, we overcharged the power plant that lived in our town. This is compelling radio. But
no, I'm listening.
How do you charge them? Do they have to pay taxes?
They overpaid or something.
Okay.
And they sued us. And
You're now in arrears with the...
We are in arrears. Careful. Careful. We got to careful what we're saying.
I was in arrears when I was an altar boy.
That's good stuff.
Are you into child rearing?
I have two kids. Yeah, I mean...
Excellent.
Yeah. They're girls, so it's gross.
How long is it... can you get... But you can't get the train up there. That's the problem.
No,
right?
It's New Jersey Transit, which is the worst. It's the...
But it doesn't run on a weekend or something like one of those trains?
You got to go to Secaucus and change. Over in Westchester, they have Metro North, which...
Yeah, you go right through.
Yeah, express.
I was just in Levity Live. You can't get up there.
No.
I did a joke about something happened on a train. It kills like everywhere. It killed on Long Island.
There they were
close. It kills in the city. Out there, they're like, we'd like to play along, but we don't really. So it's amazing.
They just put in that new bridge, the Tappan Zee Bridge, which is now the Mario Cuomo Bridge, and they didn't put tracks on it. The bridge cost like $11 billion or something. You couldn't put train tracks on that?
Were they talking about doing it?
They talked about it, and then they said, it's too expensive. Yet the bridge cost billions and billions of dollars.
Because once you're putting up the bridge, you can put some tracks on there.
Yeah, it's stupid.
They do it everywhere in Chicago. Every highway in Chicago has train tracks in the middle, so...
Idiots.
So it can be done.
Yeah. It's, what are you gonna, these fat cats. Am I right, guys?
Damn right.
I mean, what are you going to do? Boys.
I remember I bet somebody $100 on the game.
Yeah.
So, but
last night?
No, I bet somebody. I said somebody called in last week. I said, well, I'll take. The line was three. I said I said at three I win. So I was getting 3.5. So I said, I'm not doing a push at three. So then after the game, a guy goes, hey, man, you owe me $100. But I don't know if it's him or not because he didn't tweet. I don't think he tweeted before. So he could have just listened to the show. He goes, hey, man, you owe me $100.
Guy?
It could just be some guy who listened to the show.
Yeah.
And he's like, you owe me $100, but I don't know if I do or not.
I did what every heterosexual man does on Super Bowl Sunday. I had a brunch party. And
Oh my God.
I made a frittata to die for. It said 4 ounces of goat cheese. I went with 8. Such a good decision.
Everybody's choking. Too much goat. Too much goat.
Oh, fucking goat cheese. Your wife's a cunt. so we go, and then my friend's talking to me. He goes, you know, that night, I don't want sports or anything. I mean, congratulations, but like, I go.
He can't see. He's blind. You know, he's blind, right? 80% blind.
Yeah, before that, I wouldn't even. You know, I mean, I like high lie. Like
have
anybody
a sport?
Would. High lie.
For real?
Yeah, the big.
We used to have it up in Connecticut, fucking, right?
Yeah, you ever go to that scandal?
Milford High Lie?
And
they really.
Bridgeport had a big one, right?
Yeah, but Milford. I used to go to Milford for some reason. Romano took me up there one time. He goes,
really?
He called me up one morning. He goes, you want to go High Lie? I go, no, okay. And we drove all the way to Milford, and he had a gambling problem.
Well, my friend, he goes, I'm going to the bar later tonight. He goes, I have a box. And I don't really understand betting necessarily.
That means vagina. Go ahead.
Right, exactly. Leave my ex-wife out of this.
Okay.
And he goes, I got a box. I go, so what does that mean? He goes, oh, you can buy a box, and the box, and there's a odds and over and the push. And I'm like, I go, well, how much was this box that you bought? And he goes, $2,000. I'm like, you're betting $2,000 on this, the Super Bowl.
And you can win probably 50 times that,
yeah,
right?
It was like $65,000 was like the...
That's good if you can afford it.
What he was going for, but he's like...
people buy a box for $50 or $20.
Yeah, this is like a serious... It was like a private room with like catered food and...
Oh, yeah.
And it's a whole fucking thing set up.
Where was this?
In Brooklyn, someplace in Brooklyn. I don't know.
Gangsters?
Oh, hey, don't. You better pay. I'm going to fucking kill you. I'm going to cut off your fucking hand. Some of your wife's cunt. Anyway, so are you happy to be here?
How many times are you going to say cunt to make up for
can't
all,
say anything else?
Make up for all the other words.
Get my hands tied behind my back. All I have left is cunt.
That's all he left us with.
Yeah, right. Cunt Oriental.
Yes, anyway. I'm delighted. It's all right. Yeah.
Well, finally, you guys get one on the board, right?
Yeah, finally.
Embarrassing. Are you from Boston proper?
I'm from Rhode Island.
Oh, what town?
My mother's uterus.
You guys don't have your own team in Rhode Island?
Yeah, we have the farm team for the Bruins, farm team for the Red Sox. And
that's good. At least it's local.
Yeah.
Sometimes I give you like a. Sometimes I give you like somebody else's team as a minor league team.
These are all, they're all Boston-centric. And so we've always been the redheaded, little stepchild of Boston.
But you guys don't have an accent in Rhode Island?
Oh, it's the worst.
Oh, it's worst. Horrible.
Worst because it has New York and Boston influence because it's in between. Has a very Italian. This is a shirt I'm wearing.
Right.
And Bubblers is a water fountain. It's the worst.
Bubblers?
Bubbler.
The weirdest thing is, what do they call a milkshake in Rhode Island?
A cabinet.
They call it a cabinet.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, like, we're morons.
Yeah, like a coffee cabinet.
Fucking retarded. Can we say that, Keith? That's fucking retarded.
Developmentally disabled. Right.
You ever go to Cheaters?
Dude.
Yeah, this strip club right in Providence.
He met his wife. What are you kidding me? Don't insult the man. He's right here.
With the Lady Godiva Lounge.
Foxy Lady's the better one. And that's the one all the Red Sox come down and go to that one. They have legs and eggs
in Providence?
On yeah. It's great.
I think one of the Red Sox players come down.
Mo Vaughn started it years ago. I don't know if you remember Mo Vaughn, but he used to come down. It's only 50 miles, so they would drive down there, and they were just filthy skanks, and who doesn't love that? And so
I'm getting hard just thinking about filthy skanks.
And they all started coming down.
And then they had
the strip clubs in Queens. A lot of them are closed now, but they were so skanky. It was like,
they're great.
Even when I would pass on the N train going to the store, I'd be like,
thank God you said N train.
Frankly, wave. I was like, what a nice building.
You know it's bad when there's a wheelchair ramp up to the stage. That's generally not a good sign.
That's
what I say.
Coat check, there's like strollers back there. You're like,
the girl can put her leg behind her neck because it's a prosthetic. Generally, hello, Tom Cotter, everybody.
And then they have the Lady Godiva Lounge, which is next to Cheaters. Every state's got their own weird zoning. So in Rhode Island and Providence, I have family in Martha's Vineyard. So whenever I would go there with friends, we'd always stop at Cheaters and for a couple of drinks or whatever.
Because his mom.
My mom. Yeah. She worked the afternoon.
The matinee.
My cunt's dripping. My cunt's dripping all over the floor. My cunt's real juicy today, boys. Somebody give me a coffee cabinet. I feel like I got to get awake.
He's having an aneurysm right now. I want you to know that.
So, like, you go there and they have a separate entrance for, like, the strip club, and then they have, like, the all-nude kind of juice bar next to it.
Yeah.
So we're in the all-nude place, and this girl's covered in tattoos. She's giving me a lap dance, and she's got that horrible Rhode Island accent. And she's like, where are you from? I said, I'm from New York. She goes, yeah, I go down there to a temple. I said, what do you mean a temple? She goes, I worship the devil. So you worship the devil. She goes, I worship the devil.
Dude, you know she's a machine in
bed. I hope you tipped her.
I know that. Holy God.
You tipped her.
Better not come too quick. I'll cut off your cock. Put it in a cabinet.
Yeah. Wait, she really worshiped the devil? Yeah, there's a temple down here that you can go.
Yeah, there's like temple, I guess. I mean,
when she climaxes, she says, oh, Satan.
Right, exactly. Right. Fucks with crucifix. No, but I looked at her. I had full vision back then. She had two pentagrams, like tattoos on each shoulder, and she had all these like devil shots. I was like, okay, well.
Was she hot?
She's like, oh, she's wicked hot. You kidding me? I'd come in her face and call it tomorrow.
Did she get your clock hot?
Wicked hot.
Oh, my God.
As hot as algebra.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So what town in Rhode Island, though?
Providence, I grew up in.
Okay. You had that crazy mayor.
Buddy Cianci,
right. With the crazy toupee and everything?
Worst, yeah.
Yeah.
He would ride a horse, the Providence police horse, and it would flop around on his head.
It's so crazy.
And it was the best.
It's like Providence for a while was the most corrupt city in America.
It still is pretty corrupt, but it was really, the mob ran it. Boston was the Irish mob. Rhode Island ran the mafia. Right. And so Rhode Island only answered to New York and Chicago. And we had a guy named Raymond Patriarca who ran everything. And so everybody went through Raymond Patriarca to do everything. And he was just, it was so scandalous.
And Federal Hill is that really good neighborhood with all the restaurants.
That's where he lived and that's where he held court. And nobody locked their door there because if you did anything, he would, you know, you'd end up in a trash can.
You steal my cabinet? I was going to drink that after the Sox game, cocksuckers. But, all right, how long have you been in New York?
20 years.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, go ahead, caller.
Favorite Newport memory.
Is this the guy with Bet?
Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Hello? Yeah, you owe me 100 fucking bucks. Pay up.
There it is.
OVO?
No.
Yeah. I'm not OVO cool cat. Dude's a fucking clown. You owe me 100 bucks.
All right, well, how do I know it's you? Because did you tweet when we made the bet? Did you tweet pregame?
Yeah, go look back through your tweets.
Okay, I'll look back at your tweets. If you tweeted that we bet, I'll pay you.
Okay, you owe me 100 bucks. Meet me at Gallagher's.
Yeah. You want it in funny money?
Want it in whore money?
All the fun bags.
I'll tell my wife. Why he insists on meeting me at Gallagher's. What choice do I have?
Lannister always
deals,
pays.
A deal's a deal.
I pay my debts.
He's got a loan shark. He's got
all right, let me look it up. If you tweet it, yeah, I was thinking you should have tweeted before the bet so we know it's you. But, you know, if you tweet it, I'll definitely pay you.
In Cole's cash, right. But you're going to get it.
All right.
The guest is trash, and Brian, you look like a toe.
The guest
look like a toe? All right, goodbye. what's the vig on that? And by the way, Keith, I said vig.
That's good.
Thank you. I mean, listen.
Go ahead, caller.
Smiling place.
I know it.
What do you got? Nothing? Garrett, are we just talking to nobody?
Sorry, it was Brian on the phone.
Oh. Brian.
I'm there.
Oh.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Nothing.
What's this?
Brian.
It's Brian.
Yeah.
What's going on, Brian?
Hey, Brian, what's up?
What's up, buddy? What's on the? You have the floor. What's going on?
Where's is fucking Kevin there?
Kevin's.
I'm right here. I'm waiting for you to fucking talk. You just called in.
I can't hear you. Fuck. There you
turn
go.
Your radio down. Up, Mike and a Mad Dog. Go ahead.
Right. Yo, Kevin, how is it that I'm your friend and I get banned twice from a comedy club because of you?
What club did you get banned from?
I got banned from fucking Uncle Vinny's for liking a tweet.
Count your blessings. Is Brian McKenna.
Yes, McKenna.
Oh, what's up, Brian?
Oh, because there's more. Yeah. Wait. Did he text you that or something?
Yeah, he texted. So what happened was I didn't even like the tweet. You tweeted that. Like,
no, I think you liked it because I saw it. It popped up that you liked it on my phone.
No, I didn't. All I did was screenshot it and sent it to a few of my friends because I go, I guess Kevin doesn't like the owner down there either. And then I got a message from the guy. He's like, you liked the tweet. I was like, no, I didn't. And I was like, what's going on? And then he's like, you're banned. You're never allowed back. I was like, all right. Well, you already banned me. You can't ban me twice.
Wait, so he banned you Saturday night too?
Yeah, I got banned twice. But I was like, well, you told me. He goes, I didn't ban you. I just wasn't going to send you any more avails. I was like, well, that's kind of the same thing.
I tweeted, Tom, I tweeted worst comedy club in America is Uncle Vinny's, and I tagged Uncle Vinny's, you know. But they had me blocked.
The show's burning bridges, everybody.
They had me blocked on, he had me blocked on Twitter. I haven't worked at the club since 2000, what year? 2007, at least 10 years I haven't worked there. And I worked there once. He said, I'm banned for life. He tried to fire me midweek, whatever. And then so then for some reason it came up. So then I went on their Twitter, or their Twitter came up. Somebody liked it or whatever. So I went to their Twitter. He asked me blocked. I'm like, the guy fucking blocked. So then I go to Misery Loves Company, and I tweeted it. And then I retweeted it as me. So he goes after Brian McKenna because Brian McKenna liked it. This is what a douchebag this guy is. He goes, wow. He goes, how fucking dare you like it? So all the people that liked it, I looked it up. All the people that liked it were, everyone was afraid to like it because these guys, speaking of the fucking dirty mafia, these guys think they're gangsters, right? So they're all like, no one's going to fuck with us because we'll have them whacked. Even if I told my wife, she'll be like, why are you fucking with these? I go, they're fucking, they're wannabes. They have fucking soap opera shows at that fucking fag room.
Second time, Keith.
And they, how many people does it hold? 100 people?
Probably a little more, maybe 180 or maybe 200.
Yeah, like, bro, I'm afraid. Ooh.
So why do you hate the club so much?
Because he's a fucking, he tried to fire me midweek from his fucking gig, and he's just an asshole. He thinks he's like this big, he acts like he has 20 clubs,
right,
and everyone should fear him. But he's like a wannabe gangster, and he's like, no one's going to fuck with me or my dumb brother, my dumb sidekick brother. I'm going to go down to the fucking club myself and just show up.
Where is it?
Buy a ticket.
Where is it?
It's in fucking shithole New Jersey. Where is it, Brian?
Is it on the shore?
Yeah, it's at the shore.
Yeah, I forgot
they weren't even open. When I worked there 10 years ago, they probably weren't even open all year round. They were mostly open in a – what's the town it's called, Brian?
I think it's Point Pleasant.
Point Pleasant, yeah. So anyway, but everybody works there, you know, like Florentine and Italy. Took a picture with Italy. He's like, he's just like one of these guys. He thinks he's a fucking tough guy. And I'm like, you run a shit comedy club, and you have one. You have one fucking comedy club.
Why did he try to fire you midweek? What did you do?
Fire me because it's like you can't even side with the guy. They hired me to do a private party on a Sunday. This kid, he met me at Dangerfields. Then I did an HBO thing, and he was like, you gotta do my graduation party. So it was like $1,000 or $1,200 or something on a Sunday. So I was booked there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So Saturday night. I think Stan Stankos was driving me down. I go, Stan Stankos is going to drive me down tomorrow and to go on before me. He goes, no, they only booked you. I go, I don't give a fuck. They're paying me. I can pay the guy out of my own money. He goes, I can't put up a guy on my stage that I've never seen. I go, who, what do you, it's my fucking show. It's, you have nothing to do with it. It's their party, and they hired me to work at your room. I vouch for the guy, and your room's a fucking little shithole. It was like, it seated like 60 people back then. It was a side room to a shitty Italian restaurant, and the food's not even good.
I heard the guy's comedy is pretty stank.
So the guy goes, no. He goes, no. I go, so I got to go up cold? I go, when you go see Don Rickles in Atlantic City, does he go up cold? No, everybody brings their fucking opening act. He goes, no. So then he goes, okay, so I'm going back and forth. He's dealing with his brother. He's downstairs, like probably eating some chicken parm, and he keeps sending his brother as an intermediary. So finally he comes up, and we're going back and forth. I go, you're a fucking asshole. He goes, you're fired. You're not even doing it. So I call the guy on the phone on the way. It was like 2 in the morning on Saturday. I text him or call him. I go, the guy, Uncle Vinny's guy just fired me. And I was on the invitation, and his grandmother was coming. So then his mom's call. I'm still in this call. I'm still on the way home. His mom's calling me 2 in the morning. Oh, this is unbelievable. So then they work it out. I tell my agent, I go, I'm only doing a gig if he has to pay me before the gig in cash. And he has to meet me outside. I'm not fucking, I'm like, so I make it like a fucking mafia thing. I go, he's got to meet me outside and pay me in cash and not say a fucking word to me. Not say a fucking word. Just have your dumb brother pay me. So then he goes, so then we do it. And then the funny part was, you know, I bring Stan Stankos. He goes up before me and he's filthy. And he's like, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, I'm like, his fucking grandmother's here. It's a Sunday. It's
graduation party.
Sunday night, 7 o'clock. He's talking about dick and pussy and fucking. I'm like, what are you doing? I go, oh, you made Uncle Vinny look like a fucking prophet. It's like, what the? On the way home, I was yelling at him the whole. I'm like, are you a fucking idiot? He goes, well, that's what you talk about. I go, exactly. So you saved the good stuff for the second guy. You don't step on my material anyway.
No.
You keep it clean and you just go, hey, you know, you're just supposed to like warm the room up a little bit. It's a fucking private party. But
Phil's
I don't want
headlining there all the time now. Huh? He's now headlining because you got
Stan Stankos.
I don't know.
I never like to go up to a room cold ever. Whenever I get these fucking gigs on the road and whenever I do a private thing, I hate it because I got to go up cold.
Yeah, they have to provide an opener, or you get to bring your own.
No, I just want to get a read on the room before I go up. Yes. I'm good or bad. I don't give a fuck what the guy does.
You want to know what you can get away with?
The guy's talking about his fucking grandma. It's in front of his grandmother. His grandma's like 80. She's like, ugh.
Hey, you like to suck cock, grandma?
Well, anyway, so I'm banned. I'm banned forever. I'm banned forever. So I'm like, I don't give a fuck, motherfucker. It has no effect on my bottom line. It's what you have. It was a 60-seater. The guy goes, you're banned for life. I go, it's a 60-seater. Like, what do I give a fuck, you know?
So that had nothing to do with your suicide shout out
yesterday?
Nothing
yesterday.
Okay, nothing.
So then I just thought it would be fun, you know, to just tweet that it's a shitty club, because I knew he'd go fucking, you know, get all fucking in a fucking lather. You know how those fucking, those Italians get?
I got that fucking Kevin Brennan shrapnel is what happened. I mean, this is what happened.
Well, yeah, Brian, you watch out. When you sup with the devil, bring a long spoon.
So wait, so he told you or he texted you you're banned for life?
Yeah, he was just like, you're banned.
That's
like, well,
collateral damage, buddy.
Though. So whatever.
Yeah, but you don't even need the fucking, you don't even need it. It's like he's got one room. Who gives a fuck? Anyway.
You should have been like, joke's on you. I've got Hodgkin's disease. 6 months.
Hey, Brian, you canceled the gig we're doing in Mohican Sun?
I had to, yeah. I was going to call you.
Because Uncle Vinny said, don't work with Brennan ever again?
Yeah, he was like, you can't do it. Brewer called me and he needed me for St. Louis.
You're banned from working with me forever.
Why? What happened? I chose Brewer over Kevin. I had to go.
It's literally Meet Me in St. Louis, which is a fabulous Broadway show.
You're such a fag. We're talking about like mafia and sports, and you're like Meet Me in St. Louis. Liberace once said,
"I would wear high heels, but I don't like the arch." Get it? Like St. Louis?
Yeah, I got it. I got it early.
It really is. You really can't tell if he's a genius or a fucking hack.
I'm a fucking hack. No question.
You can't. It's hard to get a read on this guy. Even Belichick would be like, what is he? A genius or a hack? Well, Belichick's a coach. He's a coach.
He's a coach?
Yeah, Patriots. He's the best coach.
You know that shirt? Yeah. Oh, remember the coach from Cheers? He couldn't remember a damn thing and he died the first season.
That coach from Cheers. That's you at every bar. Hey, you guys talking about the coach from Cheers?
He got hired to play the coach on that show. He was terminally he was dying of cancer when he got the job. He was like, they were like, you know, you're hired. He was like, okay, great. I'll see you on Monday.
That's perfect for them because then you can write him out. You don't have to write him out. He just dies, and it's really dramatic.
I think they went around for more than like a season. He lasted one season.
Yeah, but then you make a dramatic exit for the guy.
Yeah,
How dramatic could it be on Cheers? What's going to happen?
They used to have dramatic stuff when the fucking, Rhea Perlman would always, fucking her husband would beat her or something. Then you have an episode
where there was a wife beating episode.
Yeah, beat her one episode?
Come on.
It's Boston.
Yeah, exactly. You burned the brush, you cunt. Yeah.
She just wouldn't listen.
Well, this place is crawling with Southies.
I know, Brian.
That's what we'll call them today, Southies.
All right, it's good.
You don't mind. All right, Brian. Sorry to get you banned from a fucking fine establishment.
No, that's okay. But I had other bad news, too. I spoke to my uncle about hiring that person who wanted to hire at my family's bar.
Yeah.
The answer was absolutely not.
Okay. Well, thank you for trying.
He goes, I know him from the Howard Stern show. And he goes, no, thank you. I said, all right. Well, I tried.
Oops. Poor Steve.
It's hilarious. The guy can't get on the show, and he can't get hired because he's been on the show.
It's a real paradox.
It's like he did porn, you know?
Yeah.
That's sad.
Trying to go clean, and then he can't get hired.
Or Steve Grillo.
All right, Brian, thanks for the update.
I'll talk to you guys later.
See you, buddy. Take these, Brian.
Reporting.
Bye. Thank you. Wow.
Steve Grillo can't get it. You know Steve Grillo, right?
Don't.
He was on the Stern show for, it was 20 years ago he was on the Stern show, but he's a friend of mine everybody kind of knows him, not everybody, but I guess, and but he's looking for work. He's kind of, I don't know if he's down and out, but he could use some money at his job.
He's definitely down. We don't know if he's out.
Yeah, so he's like, I always think, man, when you're like in your mid-40s and you're like, have a roommate. I saw, what's his name, Bob Biggerstaff was arguing with some guy. Do you know that guy?
Yeah, I love the name. That's a porn name.
It really is a porn name. But he's like fighting with some guy. He's like, my room is nice. He's like arguing with some guy on Twitter about he shares a one bedroom with some guy. And the guy like built a wall and they split the living room. And he's like, it's a nice wall and I'm going to paint it. I'm like, God.
Mexico paid for it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
But no.
Typical, Tom.
No, he has a girlfriend or something. He's making some. I saw him the other night. Saturday night, he was drunk.
Biggerstaff?
Yeah, Biggerstaff.
He's been around for a while.
Yeah. Oh, but then he goes, "Are you gonna bring me on the show?" On Monday, I go, I don't think so. We already got somebody. He goes, the Twitter blows up when I'm on. I'm like, yeah, but in a bad way. This guy stinks.
The best thing he did was when he was sitting in that chair and he's telling us about what he had like a chili and cheese omelet with avocado on it.
Yeah.
Then while he was talking to us, he immediately had to shit himself. So
first he went. And then he went to take a shit, and then he came back quickly. He goes, no, false alarm.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the episode, he's like, this is not a false alarm. And
real
he goes
deal.
To take a shit.
Thanks. I'm glad I'm sitting in this chair now.
Yeah. No.
But,
I'll be in the Smithsonian in 40 years.
On the stool.
What was I talking about before that?
I don't know.
He came up.
Twins are 16. Youngest is 11.
Wow. So you have three kids, 11, and wow, that's a lot.
Twins, you're all boys, right?
All boys.
Oh, no.
And the twins get along?
It's a man to make a man, gentlemen.
I wouldn't know, honey.
He's got two girls, fag.
Yeah, exactly, right. Do you? Yeah, two
you got to pay for
remember
two
Mike
weddings.
Remember Mike Sweeney?
Yeah, I remember Sweeney.
People always thought he was like kind of faggy, very feminine. He would talk. He wasn't very, but he had a feminine kind of tendencies. Anyway.
Dressed up like a woman to host a show sometimes.
Yeah.
When he was hosting
it. Maybe that's what people were thinking.
Yeah. This guy seems kind of fruity.
He's like, anyway, he had three boys. I was like, this is impossible. Just shows you, like, you can't predict any of this stuff, you know?
No. Is that guy Michael Malice, the guy that I did the show on Friday, is he gay or straight?
He's definitely gay, but, I mean, he might say he's straight. I don't know.
I don't care one way or other. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Get him to call in.
Right. I'm straight, click.
That's a great show, and he's a good kisser, I'll tell you that right
now. Exactly. Oh my God!
His dick tastes like shit. I know that. So
there's a glory hole.
He's gay, but
the green screen. There's a glory hole.
we're supposed to stay away from that, aren't we?
Because
It's free.
Well, it's a free show. Anyway,
is our version of The View.
Yeah, exactly. Just a couple of guys.
You think Belichick's racist? In a good way.
We have white wide receivers.
Yeah, and they get open, and he throws to them, and mostly the guys he relies on are white guys. There's something to that, right?
I don't know. Boston always had that moniker. As,
yeah, but I think it's also they're coachable because
why, Kevin?
No, because black players, you can't tell them nothing. And if you're a black coach, but if you're a white coach and you tell them black dude, they get real uppity. I asked fucking Mike Yard if I'm next. He goes, look at the schedule. You know what I mean? They're not very helpful. So I think Belichick is like, he has enough black players on to get the scent off of him. But he's like, listen, a wide receiver, receivers have to be, you have to tell them where to go and they have to do it specifically. Like
yes.
A fucking accountant. You have to be like, go down 30 steps and then turn and then the ball will be right there. And Brady's accurate, you know? So he throws it and it's like, people are like, why is he open? I'm like, even I'm like, why is he open every play? It's like, I don't know if he's open, but they know where the ball's going. And then the one play where the Rams receiver caught the ball, the play that when he got to like the 20 and then they kicked the field goal. The Rams player, he catches the ball, and when he rolls or whatever, he gets tackled, he rolls. And then before he's even up, the ball's loose. So I'm like, is that a fumble? But no, but he's so cool that he can't. He's like, I made the catch. Now I'm just.
Yeah.
Like they are with children. Like, it ain't my children.
Yeah.
You think when the Rams.
So my point is Belichick, nobody on Belichick's team does that shit. Catch the ball. Don't have the ball loose because you don't want to create any kind of controversy. So, like, catch the ball. Hold on to the ball till you're down. The whistle. Everyone's done. Then drop the ball or hand it to the fucking the ref. So it's like Belichick knows what he's doing. He's like Gronk and fucking Edelman. There's no way Edelman would do anything close to this if he wasn't on the Patriots. They wouldn't even know what to do with him. You know? They're like, because
black
guys.
Might be Hall of Fame now.
Black guys, listen. There's no question black guys are faster because when you go to the Olympics, there's no fucking white dude. There's no Edelman. There's no fucking short Jew.
Easy, Jimmy.
Out racing these fucking guys. So he's obviously not, the black guys are faster, but like they're not disciplined. They're just not. I know I'm crossing a fucking slippery slope here, but they're not. They're not
wide receivers in particular.
Huh?
They're very cocky. The wide receivers.
No, because they think that's cool.
Yeah.
Black guys are obsessed with being cool. So they got to be cool where the white guys don't give a shit. When Gronk does a touchdown, but if a white guy scores a touchdown, he don't do a dance. They don't do a dance because they're like, I scored a touchdown. That's my job. You know, they're not like, oh, yeah. You know, oh, look at my
yeah.
baby, all my baby's mamas. You're all going to get paid.
Do you think when the Rams lost, they felt sheepish this morning?
I got it. I got the Ram joke. That's good.
So when I'm just watching, I'm like, you can't say this. No one's going to say this. But it's like, why?
They have said it. They have said it. We actually took a guy in the preseason who was another white wide receiver. We already have Hogan. We had Amendola at the
time.
Yeah, and we have Edelman. So we have a bunch of wide receivers.
Amendola was before. Who was the white guy that used to have before Edelman? Was there somebody before that?
Yeah, Welker, way before that. Wes
Welker. Yeah.
It's always been our...
So he always gets a guy. He always gets like a Fred Biletnikoff kind of a guy. But it's like,
and we have a white running back. How often do you see that?
It's because he knows he can rely on these guys. They're not about fucking showing anybody up. Just do your fucking job, catch the ball, and then that's it. And then you fucking win. So all these other guys are like, let the black guys. I see all these black guys like, just go. You can't fucking do it. I'm the coach. You can't fucking do it. How about that?
You don't have
Southies.
Right.
No, it's infuriating because it's like there's no way Edelman should get open this. There's no way. How is he getting open? He's not faster than the guy.
He's slippery.
He's slippery. So my dick's slippery. It can still be covered.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And then these black guys are, it's just fucking do your job and don't fucking dance. Dance after the game like Gronk does.
Yeah, well, the white guys can't dance, so that's why
they can't dance. But also, they don't dance because they know they'll get cut. They know, but the black guys are like, "I'm so fucking good," and it's like, "You suck, dude. You
suck." You gotta act like you've been in the end zone before.
You got embarrassed by a white guy. I would think that would be embarrassing. I would think it's like when I can't follow a woman comic. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't do this anymore. If you can't fucking cover a Jew, I mean, that should be a tattoo. If you can't cover a Jew, get out of the league. Get out of the fucking league. I'm like, is he Jew? He's got to be a
Edelman
Jew. Edelman
is part Jewish.
He's got to have dentistry in his background. You know what I mean? Dr. Edelman,
yep.
We'll see you now.
Right.
So I'm like, how is this happening? So it's like, but again, the black guy's like, hey, everybody. Cover white guy.
He's the first Jewish guy to ever win the Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, wow.
So, it is.
It just goes to show, a Jew, you get a Jew or an Asian,
okay,
they'll do a good job. You know what I mean? He gets an opportunity.
We're doing great.
He gets an opportunity, and he's like, I'm representing the Jews. I got to step it up,
I think he actually said L'chaim or something when they were talking. Honest to God, in an interview last night after when he got the MVP, he said.
What's L'chaim mean?
To life.
Oh. Yeah.
So his mom's Christian. He was raised Christian and his dad's Jewish, but now he says he's Jewish and he celebrates Hanukkah.
He's milking it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I liked him to the Hanukkah part.
I don't think Mashiach would like this very much.
Well, I thought, no, but it's a Nazi.
I would think the one thing black guys do, the black guys have enormous egos and enormous pride. So I would think like
and cocks.
Yeah, and yeah. I would think the one thing that they would really stick in their craw, letting this guy catch the fucking ball, letting a white guy catch the ball, especially with a name like Edelman.
Multiple times he was open all night.
And it's like everyone's like cover. I mean, I used to yell at them. I'm like, cover Gronk. Gronk's not the threat he used to be, I guess. But I'm like, they'd have one on one with the guy. The guy's like 9 feet tall. All they got to do is throw it up, and so I'm like, cover the guy. So it's like, it's mind boggling. And then the guy who was covering him was the guy who got in trouble with the fucking Saints, right? Wasn't he? Was the primary guy covering him?
Yeah.
So it's like, dude, you suck. And he's like, I'm fucking animals.
I'm guessing
they're uncoachable.
You were rooting for the
They're league. Uncoachable. You tell a black guy, do 15, he'll do 22. Guaranteed. Guaranteed he'll do 22. Guaranteed. They're uncoachable. They run the light. They're uncoachable.
In Boston, when we had a showcase, whenever we had a showcase, we'd always put Patrice at the end, and he always claimed racism, Patrice O'Neal.
Right.
And it was because he would never do a 7-minute set. It was always someone
he would do
15 minutes, and then the people after him were
dead. And he would beat you up if you said anything.
You put him at the end of the showcase, and they're like, oh, Rosa Parks, you're putting the one black dude on the showcase at the end. Well, that's because you won't stick to your time. It has nothing to do with skin color.
Uncoachable. And his dietitian would struggle with him, too, because he would always eat those fucking sugary cookies.
How's he doing about it? I haven't seen him around recently.
Jesus.
Is he moved to LA or something?
Wow.
They're having him. They have like 4 benefits a year for the guy. I mean, how much money does he need?
Yeah, it's good. It's enough. And I heard the reason why that Jewish guy is so fast, they put a little stick with a $20 bill on his helmet.
That's all right. So you need an outsider to make those hacky fucking.
Look at me. I'm running. This is wonderful.
It'd be funny if he talked like Jackie Mason.
So I'm running. There's a ball. I got the ball. The price. I'm running.
Brady throws me the ball.
I could use a
man. I run to the left.
Soon. I ate too long.
So what do the Jews call the white guys?
White guys?
No, what do they refer to? Like, where? What's a Jew? Yeah.
They call black guys.
The Goyim. And he keeps referring to Brady as the Goyim. The Goyim throws
the Goyim ball. I said, it's made of pig. I can't hold this pig skin. Make one with maybe cow leather.
Is it kosher?
Is it kosher? I can't eat it. I'm hungry.
I'm just watching him. I'm sure other people watching him will go, what is with this shit?
Yeah.
I mean, you can see if it's like a black guy running another black guy. But when the white guy, and he's like open every time, it's like, are you fucking stupid?
And the entire receiver core is white.
Yeah.
Hogan is white.
Oh, yeah, because he knows.
Hogan!
He knows what they're going to. Even this guy, Sonny Michel, I bet he's like not a troublemaker. I bet he talks to these guys and he wants to see if they're like, they come in with the fucking, you know, the fucking long fur coat for the meeting. Just to see, like, because are they coachable? That's all he needs. If you're coachable, he's going to fucking win again, you know? And then Brady's the second coach anyway. So they're afraid of Brady anyway. But it's like, it's just unbelievable. Like, you know, the guy's like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, let him do their fucking dance. How about no dancing?
Yeah.
You fucking animals.
Unless it's
the No, it's like you got to control the team. I mean, Belichick shows you how to do it. Get a good quarterback and have disciplined players, and you'll be fine.
Play as a team. No
play
stars.
As a team, but no fucking showboating. But the whole thing of, like, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, I think, were part of that when they, Michael Irvin, like, were showboating, and they all got fucking jobs in TV and radio. So they all try to make a big name for themselves. But it fucks up the team. Look what the guys from the Giants is doing. He's a fucking egomaniac. It's faggot.
So is the wide receivers too.
No, because they think because
Terrell Owens.
Oh no, yeah, because it's a long now. It's a long legacy of that. So whatchamacallit? Beckham thinks like, oh, I'm on a boat. He's got his shirt off. It's disgusting. Yeah. It's not good for the team.
How about shirt off? Did you watch the halftime show?
Well, we leave. I was watching my family, and then all of a sudden, I'm half watching. All of a sudden, he has his shirt off, and I'm like,
Jesus Christ!
I'm like, it's like, what is that?
What
but again,
doing?
Like, he's doing it because look at me. I took my shirt off. He can't. I mean,
that show sucked so hard.
I couldn't. I wasn't really paying attention. People said it was horribly boring.
Levine had a shirt off.
Adam Levine. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Good luck. Let me see here.
So. Oh, women are off.
And he has all these tattoos, and it's like, okay, you're cool, right? I know you're cool.
Yeah.
Who's he married to? Isn't he married to someone famous or something?
Bored. Gazelle Bundchen.
Weird.
Whose pussy I wouldn't mind munching.
Hello. Oh,
this guy's all right.
Bundchen is married to Tom Brady.
Who's he married to? Adam Levine.
You're right, right.
Doesn't he have like a famous.
Yeah.
Oh, there he goes.
Yeah.
Really? So is he hot?
Yeah, he's gorgeous. I mean, I like tattooed.
No, is he heated?
It he's says, not sweating.
His wife is Bahati Prinsloo.
Yeah, Bahati. Yeah,
Bahati. Nambian model.
She's Indian model.
Nambian.
Nambian.
Namibian.
What is she like, Namibian. Aslan? Narnia.
So at least everybody knows who he is now. I don't even know what the answer is. Because you're supposed to make a spectacle of yourself in showbiz, but in sports you're not supposed to. You're supposed to be part of a team. So I don't know. But people are trashing it. But they're going to trash it no matter who it is now, unless it's Prince or Patrice, somebody who's dead. You know what I mean?
He's dead?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You almost got to be dead for people to have any respect for you, you know?
Did Geraldo move to L.A. too? I feel like I'm...
Jesus Christ.
I hope not. I just did a benefit for him.
For his cable bill in Westwood.
He's banging all these fucking hotties in L.A.
He's getting new sobriety dates in his arms. He's like running out of arms.
How many dates can your guy put on?
And with his fingers. Shit.
Right. Where do you get the sobriety date on his arm? He got a big tattoo.
He changed it. He kept having relapses. It's how ridiculous.
You put it in erasable ink.
It's funny. It's just absurd.
Because he's dead.
Yeah. I know.
Sorry, Tom.
No, but I did just do a benefit for him. But you know, whatever.
Yeah, listen.
The guy went to Harvard. He's got to know drugs are bad for him.
Yeah.
He got in because he's Hispanic. That's
all. Oh, yeah, that's true. We got into Columbia and Harvard.
Is this college on a bus route?
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, speaking of the West Coast, it's your West Coast correspondent, Chad Zumach, calling in.
Oh, Chad Zumach, I heard you.
You know, I heard Eddie Iff was supposed to be on the show, but I heard he texted me his wife and daughter were all sick. Because everybody gets sick in L.A. when it rains, because their immune systems are so weak by all the sunny weather.
Right. And all the
was Eddie supposed to call in?
No, he was supposed to be on a show, but then he texted me his wife. I didn't even want him on a show because he can't get up an elevator because he's a you-know-what. And the last time he was on my show, he goes, everybody in L.A. is on drugs or I just surf. And then next time we tried him, he goes, I can't get on elevators. So I go, oh, okay, right. You don't have problems either, right? That's just normal. You can't get in a fucking elevator, you know?
Is that true?
He acts like everybody's on meds and, you know, and he just surfs. He's just out there living the life and living off fucking vitamin D in the sunshine, but he can't get on a fucking elevator, you know?
I had no idea he couldn't get on an elevator.
Yeah.
Eddie and I are good friends, and he called me yesterday, and he was like, I'm going to come to the show tomorrow, but Kevin won't open the emergency exit door for me. Will you do it? I was like, yeah.
I didn't say I wouldn't. I said we already had a guest, and I don't want to deal with this bullshit. He's not even a good guest. He just tells a bunch of fucking lies, and like, I'm booked through April. Fucking jerk off, booked through April.
No elevator, apparently.
Yeah.
This is the first store comedy club, right? First ground story
floor,
comedy club.
Ground floor only.
Ground floor laugh hut.
And basement. Yeah, exactly. I walk down or upstairs, but no elevators.
And no fourth floor for me. That's it.
I like when he has a meeting and in like Century City, everybody has to meet him in the lobby because they all have to come down to his level. Yeah, Chad, L.A. sucks, right? You run into Neil yet? L.A. sucks.
That's why I'm calling, because I'm doing Neil's show tomorrow in Santa Monica. Are you cool with me if I do that?
You're banned forever.
Uh-oh.
Really?
No, yeah, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, do the show and get some insight of what's going on in Neil's world.
You want me to ask him any specific questions?
Mm. Yeah, no, not really.
Where are you living out there?
I'm in Los Feliz,
nice
right
area.
By West Hollywood. It's nice. A good area.
Yeah, we know where it is, Chad.
Brian, where did you live when you lived here?
I lived in Westlake Village in Malibu. Way up to 101.
Malibu. Check you out.
Are you like Jim Rockford? You would just take your trailer to different different parking lots?
Exactly.
Now we live in Manhattan Beach, kids.
You know, the month of December, they sell Christmas trees in this lot, kids, so we're going to have to pull
Isn't
out
Isn't that great? We like to move around. We go to the best schools because we just drive to that district.
Right. Any view you want, kids.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Na, 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 na.
Do you have a roommate?
Yeah, he's a doctor, though, so it's a pretty good situation. He's never here. I'm never here. Perfect.
Does he check your prostate?
He's like, I'm a doctor. Yeah. Just because he has a white coat doesn't make him a doctor.
He's like, bend over if you're going to be my roommate. Let me check your prostate.
Are people suicidal out there because of the loss to the Patriots last night?
They don't even
Nobody
care.
Nobody gave a shit.
Nobody gives a shit.
Fuck in L.A. about the Rams. Nobody cares.
They don't care. It's a Lakers
town. Party and nobody paid attention. It was like it was ridiculous.
Well, knowing you, the party was probably in West Hollywood, so that was a gay thing.
Dad, it was at the party. Can you name it? Was Florentine there?
No, Florentine has his own Super Bowl party every year, and it's the most fun Super Bowl party I've ever been to. Florentine has all his degenerate friends over.
He's even cucking it up with fucking Super Bowl parties. This guy has the best parties in town. He's the best.
Wendy from Denver has a great Thanksgiving.
She's terrific. Chad, so who was at the party? Janine Garofalo?
I fingered her.
Nah, it was just a bunch of people that work for Warner Brothers or no comics. I almost went to Ron White's Super Bowl party. That would have been cool.
Oh, that would have been a good one.
I wouldn't mind a little Ron White right now, guys. Am I right? Anybody? Party?
So you were invited and you didn't go, or what happened?
Well, my friend's friends with Ron White, and he invited me. And then he got sick and didn't go. And I can't just go to Ron White's house by myself. I don't know him.
Get her done.
He showed up with a get her done t-shirt. He goes, that's not me, you idiot. I know. I thought that'd be funny. I don't know your catchphrase. What's your catchphrase? Oh, what? He has a catchphrase too, right? Tater salad?
I can't believe that's it. Tater salad.
Oh. Chad, so are you getting any spots? I don't even want to talk about your spots. Anyway, so what do you got? Nothing?
You late out there?
No, I just checking in with you guys, and I wanted to thank everyone that listens to Burning Bridges that bought my album. A lot of your fans really came out for it, and I appreciate that. I'm very grateful.
Oh, great. Excellent. Humble and grateful.
The good thing about my fans, they buy it, and then they go out of their way not to listen to it. Because they want to support you, but they know it's going to suck.
You go from burning bridges to burning albums.
Chad, how long are you going to be out there?
Well, I'm definitely here for a year. I signed a year lease, so I just wanted to just kind of more or less get a change of pace and try to do something.
Change of scenery, I think they call it.
Help.
Chad, where'd you meet this
doctor?
I actually back in the day, I used to bartend with him back in Cleveland. So he's doing a lot.
He's a doctor. He's an LA doctor. Right? Nobody checks your credentials. says on his Instagram he's a doctor. Then he's a doctor.
He's a liver specialist. He got his degree by hitting F9.
He can make a great gin and tonic.
Yeah, exactly.
So you had that set up before you moved out there?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why, is because I got my own, like, it's just pretty much my own house, wing in the house. He's just like, you could just live here, just sign a lease, and we're good to go. And it's affordable.
Is he like a traveling doctor? Why is he never there?
Yeah.
No, he's just always at work, and he takes a million vacations.
Chad, how'd you book Neil's show? He booked, you contacted Neil, or he has somebody book it?
No, I contacted Neil, and I was scared to, but he responded, and he goes, yeah, you can do it this Tuesday. I was scared because I didn't know what he was going to say because of my association with you.
You have his number?
I just Facebooked him. I'm friends with him on Facebook.
Oh, I was going to say, can I get it from you if you get it? All right, Chad, good call.
Yep.
Oh, I was just calling to say hi. I was checking in.
I know. I'm saying it was a good call. Short and sweet.
It's good. All right, Rachel. All right, Chad.
God bless. Don't get hit by a truck.
I'll be out there next month. I'll hit you up.
He's going to go rifle through the doctor's stuff now. He's not around.
He looks around. He's like, get some what's this going to do to me? Like, I can't find a vein. I'm too fat.
Go ahead, caller. We got more calls.
Okay, let's do it.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
What's up, boys? Hold on one second. Hold, please.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, let us hold for you.
I had a disconnect from the Wi-Fi at work because my tweet wouldn't fucking send. You faggots have had me on hold for over an hour.
Oh, I'm sorry.
First of all, I got bumped by the inbred Hills Have Eyes motherfucker who you somehow thought was me, the first caller. Then Brian McKenna, who I love. He's a good egg. No disrespect. And then Chad fucking Zumbach.
I'm not running the board. I'm not running the board.
I know, motherfucker, but you're trying to kike out on our bet.
Oh, this is another one.
Wait, you're the guy who made the bet?
Yeah, boy, this is Paul Fiorenza from Boston. I live in Foxborough, @Paul_Fens on Twitter. You can have Garrett pull it up. I just screenshotted that tweet of you accepting the bet. Have him pull it up.
I can't believe you're from Boston. I don't hear an accent.
No, Wait. Yeah, that's why I'm like, are you guys dumb or is this a bit? He's like, hey, y'all, like, I want my $100. My sister cousin's making some shake and bake math in the back, but we really need that seat now. And you're like, all right, Paul.
No, I remember just, I remember you had an accent. Wait, so
the
you.
The first guy's full of shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you don't even know. Scam. So it is all a scam. Right. I can't pay everybody. I'll pay you both you 50.
I'll fucking come to cop on media and stab you, motherfucker.
Well, that sounds like a guy bet.
There's very tight security here.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Wait, so
anyway,
did you?
Garrett, pull it up.
Did you tweet? You tweeted before the game that I bet you,
sir. Have Garrett pull up the screenshot that I just tagged him. Compound, keep the cop, you and Brian in.
Before the game.
Yes, before the game.
All right, all right, all right, all right. I'll contact you.
Kevin's no Welsher.
Oh, and then,
he's good for it.
What are you gonna, is that it?
Well, what else you got?
Oh, I was going to talk about the game. First and foremost, Kev, I wanted to just agree with you. Everything you said about the Patriots is 100% true, about the way Belichick doesn't take the shit from these guys, and he brings in white guys and Josh Gordons and Randy Mosses, and Cordero Pattersons, and he turns them into new team players, you know?
They know what the rules are. So most teams, it's a player's coach, and then he lets the players do what they want, and then it creates fucking disarray in the fucking locker room because now who's the boss? Oh, the guy who makes the most money. Belichick's the boss, and then Brady's the second boss, and then everybody else can suck their dick.
Exactly.
So get open. The ball will be there, and then it's just amazing to me. I hope no one will talk about this. I like to see Stephen A. Smith go like, "Why is Edelman?" Because he always say something. Go, "Why is Edelman open? Why is he open?" Like obviously, black dudes are faster than white dudes. The NBA has no white dudes in it because it's all speed, and the Olympics it's all speed. There hasn't been a white guy in the Olympics in 100 meters since fucking Jesse Owens.
I was gonna say that
exactly.
Well, and Adolf motherfucking Hitler. So yep. It's been a while. So this whole thing of like, why should he be open? Because it's like they're coachable. We're coachable. How many times has Talib been late for fucking his show? How many times have I been late? Once.
Yep. Kevin, not to be a Brian McCoffey name dropper, I actually knew Aqib Talib personally. He used to come into my store when he worked there, and he's actually good shit. But he's a typical you-know-what. He's getting caught at strip clubs firearms that are never registered several times. I mean, he's a nice guy, but,
Which Talib are you talking about?
Aqib Talib. Who's Aqib the other Talib?
He played for the Patriots.
Oh, you really know the guy?
Yeah, I actually used to have his cell phone number. He used to come into my store all the time.
What kind of store do you have? I forget.
A gun store?
I work in the car business.
Car business. All right.
Yeah, car sales, buddy.
That's nice.
I sell Hyundai Elantras, Brian.
No, 98? I was in the back of one of those
nice
Saturday night.
For you. I got a nice 97 for you.
That's good.
But, and then whoever the guest is, the guy you were thinking of that we used to have, another white guy, was Eric Decker.
Decker, that's the one. You're absolutely right.
Eric I thought Decker played for the Jets.
Yeah, we picked him up.
And then we picked him up.
He's a free agent, but...
Just run your route.
They cut him.
Run your route, and the ball will be there.
Right there. That's a white guy who couldn't figure out the Belichick system, and he said, get the fuck out of here, and the kid retired.
And Josh Gordon was the black guy we had, but he failed his third drug test or whatever.
Yeah, but they can even bring these guys in, like Randy Moss. They brought him. I mean, he is a troublemaker, but they bring him there. He's a good athlete.
He was a
deep threat, and then even those guys, they know how to behave because they know they're going to get cut. Because Belichick would just be like, thank you, goodbye, I'll get somebody else. Yeah. They don't need much. A white guy gets open on their fucking with their system. So.
Their schemes.
Dude, that's it, man. And back to the team thing and the individual celebrations, I can't stand that shit. Belichick will cut you from the team. I've been a lifelong Pats fan. He said, celebrate as a team. You notice how they all get together in the end zone? He goes, if I catch you celebrating individually, you cut.
Good. Yeah, good.
You know what I mean?
I think you should take the team in for pizza after every game they win.
The first Super Bowl when we beat the Rams, when Brady was brand new, they came out.
Underdog.
They came out as a team. That was the big thing. The greatest show on turf were the Rams. Yeah. They all came out individually, you know.
Right. And who won the game?
We came out as a team.
Yeah, they were the best team of all time. The Rams were the best team of all time. Of course, we saw what happened there. So it's like, whatever.
They came out one by one, Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, and look what happened. We came out as a team. And you know.
Isaac Bruce.
Guys, all eating clam chowder. We're going to kick your asses. Because we're wicked white.
Even the black guys love clam chowder.
Yeah. Bill Belichick's
That's
like,
how indoctrinated they get.
Like beans. Yes, Mr. Bill.
We haven't said any bad words yet. But listen, you can't say this, but it's factual. Something's going on. Something's going on.
What's going on?
Something's going on. If the guy's open... The guy's open, and it's the defense is crushed. There's not one white guy in their defensive secondary on the Rams. So if he's open,
maybe not in the league. There can't
if he's right, you're probably right. Even if he's open, something's going on because they're
really
physically
good.
Not faster than the black guys that are covering them. So
the Patriots have a white running back, Burkhead.
More intelligent. They're more coachable.
We're definitely more coachable. Like I don't know if we're more intelligent, but this is a free show. We're definitely more. We're
going
to send this out to everybody.
I apologize. Strike that from the record.
We're more coachable.
It's not a live show. You're fine.
They even have a black running back, and he's called White.
That's true. That is true.
James White, And here's another fuck-up that we turned into a Super Bowl champion. Remember Corey Dillon?
Oh, yeah. Corey Dillon was great for them.
Up on the Bengals.
Yeah, the Bengals. The Bengals. Remember that singing group, the Bengals?
Yeah.
This is a guy I bet because I knew he had a heavy accent.
Manic Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I just want to say I'm the legit dude. You can check all the tweets.
See, this is my whole story of the show. I don't know who it was because how am I going to know who I bet, you know?
I may be a self-loathing, racist psychopath, but he's very ethical. He'll pay you.
I'll pay you, but also it's like you know, I'm not even racist. I'm just saying, like, listen, if the white guy's open every time something is going on, and Belichick knows, like, he'll run the route I tell him to. He's not gonna have a big ego. He's gonna appreciate the fact that he has a fucking job. He's not gonna have an attitude like I'm the greatest that ever fucking played. But that's the black mentality. Like all the wide receivers come to the league, like you have to be like a fucking what is it, Keyshaw Johnson? Like you have to be like I have a huge ego because then you'll get a job after fucking television. You have to make yourself known, and also. Black guys are show-offs.
Yeah.
Yep.
They have their entourage.
They have an entourage.
The woman just brings his accountant. That's it. And he's done.
Exactly.
And his
moil. Yeah.
Friday and his rabbi.
Friday
can you bless his football?
Friday at sundown, I'm out. I can't do it. Shabbos, what do you want? You do your footballing now, I'll be home. I'm going to beat the traffic.
You're footballing now.
It's fucking, it's amazing. But you can't say this. You can't say what's the fucking deal.
Didn't Jimmy the Greek get fired for his
Yes, he did. He absolutely did. Saying that you had a bigger.
No, he said they.
What was that a thing?
He said that African Americans were better athletes because they had like some kind of Achilles tendon thing.
Iron thigh muscles.
That might have been like, too. And they bred the big ones with the other big ones. And like, the guy,
yeah, that was it.
And he said across, the guy said across, he's like, Jimmy, he's like, fucking shut up. And Jimmy's like, they bred the big ones.
They cut
ones.
His mic. He grabbed some of the
Yeah, exactly.
Let me finish.
Listen, they're good runners because they snatch purses. They're really good at it. And.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
He also said black people can't be coaches because they're not smart enough, I believe.
Wow.
No, that was Al Campanis.
The Jimmy the Greek line.
That was Al Campanis. He said it for the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm mixing up my
He was on Ted Koppel. He used to work for the – they used to work for the – it was on, like, Martin Luther King Day or whatever.
I don't remember this.
It was on Ted – it was, like, infamous.
What a perfect day to do that on.
He was on Ted Koppel, and he goes – they go, how come there's not – he was like, the VP for the Dodgers. So they go, how come there's no white like coaches in major leagues? And he goes, well, they're not really bred to be coaches. And Ted Koppel kept going like, so you sure do you stand by these remarks? He goes, absolutely. Ted Koppel gave him like a million opportunities to just go like, I'm drunk. Yeah, well, you know, I don't know what the fuck I took before I came out here.
He fell down the stairs.
He was fired the next day, but it became like it was like I was watching. I'm like, this guy's fucking great. No, I'm like, no,
it's like it is, man.
This is even before I switched sides, but I'm like, I was just amazed. So like the guy was like, this guy can't be this dumb. You can't say that they're not bred. They're just not bred.
No, I'd love to see one do it, but they're not capable of.
They're not bred in captivity.
How come there's no black coaches or no black general managers?
Wrinkles in their brain. I don't know what it is. You know, they're just they're musical people. But
all right, thanks, caller. All right, tag me in the thing, and then I'll pay you the money. Show me the proof.
I already tagged in the screenshot. You'll see when you go on Twitter. Thanks, boys.
All right.
Thanks, boys. No, take it well.
He sounds like the guy, because I remember the guy had a heavy accent.
He's Italian, too, so pay the guy the money.
Right. And the first guy, he already got Uncle Vinny on my ass. But
you're going to end up in the trunk of a Sunday lunch.
They won't even know who did it.
It'll be a loner.
so many Italians after me.
Right. Kevin, before I fucking rip your arms off, this cruise control and this, cloth seats, you got a nice tape deck. You know, like.
There's a comic in Boston whose name shall remain Vinny Figueredo.
Dennis Leary.
Frank Santarelli.
And he used to get, bookies would show up at gigs to, they'd sit through the show and then they'd beat the hell out of him after the show. Because
really?
He owed so much money to.
He was such a bad comic?
No, because he had some gambling.
But they fuck with you guys. Didn't they used to pay you guys in coke?
I never got that. Not then. I got offered that in New Haven from.
Yeah,
Joker's
I did too.
Wild.
Joker's Wild. The guy tried to pay me, but apparently, and back in the day, and when the clubs first opened, they would go, I'll give you $1,000 cash or $2,000 in coke, and they'd be like, the coke.
I'll take the coke.
Yeah, thanks, Monty Hall. But then they become junkies and fucking. Yeah. Then you got to sell it, which is illegal if you want to fucking make a profit. You know,
who's the guy, Lenny Clark, who's now sober? My aunt used to.
Sober.
Yeah, which he used to own
him. I think he is sober.
He's
lost like 300
pounds. Yeah, he got real clean.
He's a
great comic anyway.
And he used to own a place on Martha's Vineyard called the Hot Tin Roof.
He used to perform there.
Yeah, exactly.
Great,
so
great gig.
Yeah, but they would all come and like, her husband was like, he was in NA, so he would like take the back of the toilet seat and spray like WD-40 on it. So like Lenny Clark, he put the coke on the back of the toilet and it would all like disappear. and he'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? You
know, there's like, a thing called When Stand-Up Stood Out by Fran Salamina.
There's
a thing in it where Tony V, very funny comic, sat in the green room of the Comedy Cellar or something up there, and he drew a line with whiteout on top of the TV. This is back when TVs had the top, they had a tube, and he just sat there all night watching all the comics come in and lunge for because they thought it was a line of blow.
Right.
It wasn't. He would just howl because they went from ecstasy to agony when they realized it was just a pump fake and it was a line of whiteout.
That's really great.
I did a gig in like Worcester. It was a Barry Katz gig.
Bragging.
Years and years and years ago, and it was just some shit restaurant, but they had like an upper level to the restaurant, and the headliner, I don't even remember his name.
Gallagher.
He's doing. I'm fucking lying. I'm like, it's a fucking little restaurant. Like, what do you do with a big gig? It was like. So I think they just get so used to like doing blow that they got to do blow before every show. But that's a bit of a fucking. trap, right?
It was a little bit before me, but the mid-80s up there apparently was just, there was four headliners and a Coke dealer that all lived together in one house. And that's all they, you know, they would, he managed, all he did is just supply them with blow.
Right.
And he made a fortune doing it.
And you almost had to do blow or else you're like a big fag, right?
Yeah, they didn't trust you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, also, but Boston's like a weird town for me because I have family up there, but like I don't really go up there ever. But like, last call in Boston's like midnight or 12:30. It's not like a late night town.
It is not the city that never sleeps. Like,
no. Remember Kevin Knox?
No, Knoxy.
I think he's dead, right?
He is.
Anyway, when Barry, he was great, and he came to Barry when Barry opened Boston Comedy Club. He would bring all these Boston guys when it first opened, you know.
Yeah.
And I was emceeing, and he goes on, he fucking crushes, and then he comes up to me, he goes, hey, where can I get some blow? I'm like, Barry's paying me $20. You think I'm buying blow with this fucking? He's like, but I think they just assume like, hey man, you're a comic. We all know where the guy gets where you get the blow. So, but blow's not cheap, right, Brian?
$60 for a gram-ish. You know what I mean? Are you sober or anything? Or you tip him back a little bit?
Yeah.
What are you drinking there?
That's just Diet Coke.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. I didn't know you were a homo. See, I broke his balls. Tom,
Rogel
I got
and
you
I,
good.
Rogel and I did, we went to that Live at Jonglers thing about 15 years ago, and that was at the Comedy Store in Piccadilly Circus in London, and all the comics came back because they knew we were American comics, and they offered us blow. And we were like, dude, that was the mid-80s. We don't need to do blow now. Yeah. But they all came back, and that was their thing to try to bond with us was that, hey, we've got some blow. Let's go do some blow. Rogel and I are like... No.
I was in London 2 years ago at a nightclub, and it's like it's like New York in the early 80s. Everyone had Coke. Everyone, it's like they just discovered it. They're like, would you like some gear, governor? Hello.
Yeah. So, 10 years behind us, minimum.
That's what they call it, and they call you the governor?
You call it gear. Huh? It's rot good. My friend brought it over from Columbia in his asshole, he did.
Wait, somebody's calling in. They said they saw me at a strip club on Saturday.
Uh-oh.
You would never catch me in a strip club unless it's under video surveillance.
Right.
And then you'd catch me there three times a week.
Yeah, exactly. There's no
clue. What up, Kev?
Hey.
Hey, hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, I got a theory on why the black players are so uncoachable.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
Well, you know, these guys, they won't stay off the watermelon, the fried.
Okay. Thanks so much. Now you start cutting off people. You cut off his mic, too?
Was that the caller that saw me at a strip club on Saturday?
That's what he said.
That's not a reliable source.
Did I pass out, go to a strip club?
Did you do shows with Louis this past weekend?
No, this week.
Okay, this is the big week.
Really?
Yeah, it's already been outed. They already put the dates out, sold out.
Really?
So where's the club?
I don't know if I can say it. No, it's in Florida. I'll just say it's in Florida.
Nice.
But you can Google it.
Of all those guys, Louis is the one that is definitely going to rise like a phoenix from the ashes. He's fine. You know, he jerked off. His demographic loves that. 18 to 35-year-old men. Nobody gives a shit. He didn't touch anybody. He never put his hands on anybody. Never locked the door. He should not have been lumped in with the Cosby.
Plus, there's no, whatever. It's, what do you call it when you're like a... Something hanging over your head, smoking gun.
Sort of Damocles.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing's gonna come at him and like out of nowhere and go, oh, this guy raped me, you know, because it would have happened already.
So you're right.
There's nothing. There's no gonna be some surprise where he's gonna have to go to jail or get arrested.
And Al Franken got screwed in that lump of all those people that you know with the wine.
And Al Franken, I think, was a bit of a perv, you know.
And who hasn't coerced an employee to watch you jerk off in a hotel room, right?
Anybody? I keep trying to get Garrett to watch me, but
right.
He's like, I don't work for you. I just answer the phone. look at my cock.
Don't get cum on the board.
But the other comics that are being so holier than thou and throwing Louis under the bus, it's nauseating to me.
No, it is. But you know what? Also, it's like it's almost helping him in a way because it's almost like people got to see it. And the shows are selling. He's like selling out faster than anybody.
It's funny, and you're on the show. I mean, that's a phenomenal show. It's a good show.
And
also Brad Trackman.
Nothing wrong with Brad. That's great.
No,
that's
his punchline. That's his name dropper.
Yeah,
thing.
Exactly.
So
you're fine. I'm just joking.
No, but they sell out so fast that people are like, I think the people that are like against him are like, hey, maybe this won't sell. But it's like I just saw it on Twitter. And then I went to the website, and it's like every show is like six shows. Every show is sold out.
So supply and demand. People
I think
want
they
to see
sold
it.
Out in a, in like I don't know how long, but it was sold out the day it was announced. It was basically sold out. So
you know, like Judd Apatow, someone in a bunker, like looking at the numbers, going, "Ah, curses."
No, I know. I think they think it's like there's going to be some kind of backlash, you know. But I don't think there is.
No,
you know?
And there shouldn't be. Grow a dick and get over it, Jesus Christ!
Right, but it is. But I said to somebody, I go, all the comics that go after him are none of the comics that he's going to run into. It's all the LA guys. You know what I mean? All the guys that he's never going to see. That they're the ones that they're being the fucking bravest. You know? Because the New York guys, the New York guys don't give a shit, and second of all, they'll see him, so they're not going to be except for John Mulaney, who was like, "This is the most," you know. I'm trying to talk because he's a bit of a fag, you know, he's with that faggy accent. Like,
right.
This is the bit. He said he made this whole thing on Twitter. Then I retweet. I go. Well, next time you see him at the Cellar, you'll hug him or whatever. But I guess he fired Dave Becky when
who did
Mulaney?
Oh.
I think he was with Dave Becky.
Becky should not have thrown Louis under the bus like that. Louis made Becky a lot of money, and then instead of supporting his client,
he'll say he had to do that for perception purposes, you know, blah blah blah, and you know, and plus he was getting probably shit from clients. But I mean, in a big picture, you know, he didn't do that much. You know, again, he didn't do anything illegal. He just did things that were, you know, I wouldn't do.
And he asked a lot of them, and Sarah Silverman among them said, "Sure, go ahead."
I don't jerk off in front of people because I'm not. I don't. That's not my thing. And I don't have a big, gigantic. If I had a beautiful dick, if I had an Adam Levine kind of a cock,
yeah. I'm into feet.
I don't take my shirt off either. I tell my wife to fucking turn off the light. And we married 12 years or 13 or something. I'm like, turn off the fucking goddamn light. I'm not taking my shirt off because she won't fuck me if she sees me naked.
Why? You don't have a nice body?
I'm pale. I'm pale as a motherfucker. I'm Irish. I'm genuine Irish. I'm not like your.
How dare
I have
you
no I have melatonin. And you have a little bit of color in your skin.
This is the greatest panel right here.
Pretty white.
Brian called in. I was like, wow, we're really in like the star chamber here.
Yeah.
Shanty Irish fucking.
So, I think everything's like a surprise. It's even a surprise to him. You know, when it's just like when he's, I mean, he's happy that it's, you know, I'm not speaking for him, but I mean, I'm sure he's thrilled because I'm sure he didn't know what the fuck was going on, especially when he first started at the Comedy Cellar, you know, all the backlash there and
that
didn't know what was going to happen on the road. And the fact that these shows are selling. But my point is, there's people are like a lot of people think like he didn't do that much that he should lose everything. So they're almost going to support him. You know what
Good.
I mean?
I think they
to
should
watch his comedy and also be there for like the spectacle of it and just to support the guy. Like, what
you want to hear what he's going to say about it?
Yeah, it's like Lenny Bruce, except he's not a heroin thing and he's a way better comic. You know, I thought Lenny Bruce was like overrated, but even a Lenny Bruce show, you'd be like you'd almost go just to see what the fuck he was going to say.
Yeah.
You know.
And also, I don't want to sound inappropriate, but Louis
really?
Has...
Now you don't? Because you Louis dropped has, the C word 1,000 times.
Louis has daughters. I'm happy to babysit. I'm just saying. One's got to be at least 17, right?
That is highly... How is that not inappropriate?
That part's a little creepy. I'll go with you on that.
Learn how to kiss?
I mean...
It's highly inappropriate. You have daughters. How would you like to have said something about you?
I'm worried about my kids seeing on the internet that I smoked pot, you know?
Oh, really?
Imagine what Louis's daughters are going to find
it's gonna
on the internet one day. That's going to be,
you know,
but they already know. They're old enough. They got to know. They got to know something.
Yeah, someone
so
had to tell
that's
something.
That's the one part where it's like if he was single. I mean, if he was like didn't have any kids, it would be like a no brainer. But now with this, it's just got to. It's got to navigate all this shit. You know.
I think when they go home and sleep on a mountain of cash every night, they get over it quickly. You know.
Because he lives here in town, right?
Yeah.
In town. What am I, fucking Art Blakey?
town.
No, right? Are you in town?
Yeah, he lives above the saloon.
I'm taking the 4:15 to Costco. Let's have cigarettes in a bar.
That's
a great show. I would say people go see it, but it's sold out. So
yeah, it's sold out.
That's
the whole thing's weird. Like, are you getting any resistance? Like, you when you go up as a white comic, you feel any like you got to do
it's
any
horrible now. Everything. Corporate.
I mean, if you're like a middle-aged white guy, you gotta. I mean, corporate shouldn't be that bad because they're all white too. But
now there's more conference calls. You get a conference call from someone at HR saying,
what they don't want to hear.
Can you stay away from these topics? And then they'll send you a thing that they not just an email, a thing they want you to sign saying that you will stay.
You're
away
getting
from,
them, or you just hear about? Oh my god!
Oh, they come through the agency.
Because I'm hearing about them. I didn't know. So you're getting them saying you have to agree in advance to not do these things.
Yeah, and it's very vague. Some of them are vague. You know, we want to make sure we don't disinvest
enfranchise people. And the words are even, there are no microaggressions and stuff. And I'm like, I don't even know what the hell that is, but I'm going to do what I do. You hired me. Hopefully you did your due diligence and looked up my stuff and understand that it's going to be PG at best, probably PG-13 or R. And if you don't like it, then caveat emptor.
Your ex clean, but they could still find something that'd be like, this is offensive.
Of course they can. Funny, you can't make fun of anything now.
You're like,
and you still got to get laughs, though. You got to dance around the shit and still get laughs.
Water it down and make it cardboard. So because
and then they go, oh well, he was pretty. But it's almost like you're almost better doing okay than being offensive and killing. You know,
when you have what you consider to be a great show because everybody seems very happy afterwards, and then 2 days later, they didn't like when
somebody complained.
One person complains, and then you got to.
Yeah, I don't make fun of holograms. That says Holocaust, sir. I can't. Yeah. No, a hologram. Sorry, I put my glasses on.
They don't hear the actual joke. They their perception of the joke is what offends them, and then
right.
I'm sorry.
The topic.
You said you did
it. I was doing a college years ago, and they called.
What book's that? Anyway, go ahead.
Call me at the hotel. They call me at the hotel and they go, you know, they just want to warn because it was like a Christian. It's a Christian area, of course, Oklahoma, Bible Belt, whatever. Yeah. So she goes, don't say the F word and don't say GD. I go, GD? She goes, goddamn. So I'm like, motherfucker.
I'm fucked. This cunt's bundling me out.
I mean, it does fuck with your head because every joke, every setup, I'm going, I make fun of handicapped people here. I make fun of women here. Every joke,
mockery. It's lampooning.
Yeah, it's like, first of all, you got to get laughs. I mean, it's called a punchline. So it's like, unless you're Mike Birbiglia, you're going to say some things that people laugh at certain things, you know? So
I find now that you have to go up and spend the first 15 minutes throwing yourself completely under the bus with all self-deprecating
stuff.
You're a piece of shit. I'm broke. Right.
My wife hates me.
Everything else. Yeah, all that stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. And once you do that, then they go, all right, the guy can take a punch. Now we'll let him punch. But if you come out holier than that and start shitting on other people, then they get all upset. And then they go on social media and lynch you. And people weren't even at the show jump in. And it's horrific.
Yeah, somebody was saying, tweeted yesterday, he goes, what I'm learning from all the Super Bowl commercials is that black guys are super cool and white guys are all nerds, you know?
Yeah, so there was no sexist commercial this year. In the past, Doritos would have the chick with cleavage and everything. Now, apparently, everything was...
We're coachable.
We are indeed coachable.
Hey. I just want to see with Stephen A. Smith. I just want to see if he brings it up. Like, how can this white guy get this open there's eight black guys chasing him?
I wish they'd make a video game. Liquored up before and just have his truth come out for the liquid courage and actually say that stuff.
Who, Stephen A?
Stephen A. I would love for him to say.
He usually says stuff that you're kind of not supposed to say, whatever. We'll say. Anyway, well, you got any plugs or you got another blind for sight?
Oh, yeah. Oh, are we right?
What happened to your thing with your grand champion show? Is that over already?
I was X'd by Simon. Thanks for bringing that up.
You were X'd by Simon.
I was the only X.
Howard Stern. He came in second 1 year in the fucking whole thing.
Oh, I know you.
On America's Got Talent, but I just did Champions. They have America's Got Talent Champions, it's called now. That's the season. It's all Britain's Got Talent, France's Got Talent. It's all the Got Talent finalists.
Oh, from all over the world? I didn't know that.
South Africa, we had
I didn't know that.
All these people.
Oh.
And Simon despised me. And
really?
Because you're a white guy. You're an American white guy.
He's like, I tried to give you cocaine in London. You said no.
So wait, he X'd you before you're finished?
Yes. In the middle of I only had 90 seconds and he X'd me in the middle.
What a fucking, what a dick smuggler.
He sucks.
I'm sorry for you.
What did you say? Did you guys say anything and they leave it in?
They didn't. I thought they were going to, filmed it in September. So it had 5 months for me to stew and go, how are they going to play this? But then one of the executive producers called me the Wednesday before it aired and said, we're not, we're going to show you just the way it happened. He got booed when he X'd me and the other three judges went after him about it. But I thought he's the creator of the show. They're never going to show that. They're just going to have me look like a jackass and everything. It was what it was. I didn't move on. Paul Potts won my night. The guy, opera singer, he won Britain's Got Talent.
He came in second, which is unbelievable as a comic because you got to go through.
We're dog act.
Howard loved you.
No, but you got to beat so many people. And what I've said about that show is if you're a singer And you can pick like standards, a way, you know, the do it my way. You have all these, but if you're a comic, you got to do original shit, you know. Yeah. And at some point, you're gonna get to your weaker original shit, but you're still going up against a guy singing fucking The Way We Were because he's right. a fag, and but you know what I mean. So comics, it's like it's you almost have no shot. I mean, your act was perfect because you do short jokes and your jokes are funny one liner stuff, you know. So
short jokes.
And Howard was in your corner, right?
And I had Howie and I had Sharon Osbourne. Those were my judges, so that yeah. was perfect for yeah. a comic. You know, I was
Scary Spice didn't like you?
She did like me okay. This past season.
How come the supermodel wasn't in that year?
Heidi was this year. She was very kind to me too.
No, but did she usually hate a comics? The year you were you won.
She wasn't a judge my year.
But she wasn't yeah. a judge.
My year was Howard Stern, Howie Mandel, Sharon Osbourne. It was the last year of Sharon Osbourne, first year of Howard Stern.
I think you're wonderful. You got a brilliant career in front of you.
All right. Well done, Brian. Thanks, a lot buddy. Of you really showed your range today.
I'm a regular rich little talent.
Rich little talent. Oh, this guy's on fire. Thank God this is free.
Yeah, right.
They probably took it off the free platform 5 minutes in.
Charges in. Get the thing right. Put it back in the machine.
They started talking about the black guys.
Can we,
trying
yeah,
to,
exactly. Keith, I was a good boy.
Chase a Jew. When's the last time you? When's the last time you saw a black guy not be able to catch a Jew?
Quick, throw him a car stereo.
Come on, man. What year is it?
Jews never chase black guys unless they want child support.
Come back. Kaniqua, we can make it work.
Oh, here's his lawyer coming. Okay.
All right. You got plugs?
Yeah, I do. I call him Transplant, and it was 10 grand. It was a long time ago.
Good.
But fuck yourself for
is
asking.
That, is that fake?
No, it moved from the back of my head to the front of my head. That's all. I got the plugs, buddy.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah. It really looks good.
Okay. I should have shaved my head. Anyway.
How old are you?
55.
Okay.
You look good, for real. I'm not gay, but you have a nice sometimes body. I wish I was.
Trim.
Did you work out? Were you married when you got the plugs?
No, right before I got married.
But you had met your wife already?
Yes.
Can I take a look? Sorry.
Can I tell you? I was, yeah, there they are. And I get them done. Okay. I'm sitting on my couch with a bloody bandage on my head because it's a million incisions. And I did it because I thought I'd get more commercials. I was trying to do a lot of commercials.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting on my couch, Gaffigan, every goddamn commercial. He was on Saturn. He was the voice of Saturn.
Yeah.
Or the on-camera Saturn. He did Rolling Rock Beer. And he was bald as hell. And I'm like, you asshole. Why did you spend 10 grand that you don't have on hair plugs when the bald guy's getting all the gigs now anyway?
Because God loves him.
God does love him.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
So, like five kids.
He doesn't need the commercials anymore. Yeah, that guy's just everybody. Printing money.
Pulled his hair
so
out.
Good.
All those kids.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm at Comics Mohegan Sun next weekend. And I don't know where the hell I am. Rehab after that.
What's your website?
TomCotter.com.
What's your Twitter?
@TomCotterComic.
Okay, good.
Are you active on social media?
I'm sexually active on social media.
Grindr.
Makes it even better.
Yeah. Exactly. Bareback. Remember, folks, you can go to BrianPatrickMcCarthy.com or BrianPMcCarthy.com. Go to the shop, promo code GAY4PAY. Buy a t-shirt if you'd like, @BrianPMcCarthy on Twitter. Thank you, Compound Media. And Tom, thank you. Nice
also,
guy.
Yeah, great job, Tom. Also, this Wednesday, I'll be on the road with Louis. So this Wednesday is a pre-tape. Our next live show is next Monday. But I think the pre-tape was with Steve Grohl. Steve Grohl, he's like, you think I can get a job? We found out today you can't get a job, so it'll be perfect.
Steve.
We buttonhole that or whatever you call it. What do you call it? Tie it up in a knot?
Hey, pre-tape. Anyway, should we drink some scotch?
I don't get it.
Scotch tape.
Oh.
Wow.
See, sometimes you gotta have to connect the dots. Yeah. Anyway, thanks to Compound Media. Thanks to all the people all the cheap fucks that listen to the show for free.
Right.
We didn't offend you.
Jew.
I hope we did.
Bye.
I got blisters on my fingers.